Welcome to the Love Letters to Poe podcast. I'm Sarah Crokel Smith, publisher and editor-in-chief, bringing you wonder and terror, romance and horror in this gothic fiction magazine. Each week, I'll be sharing a new gothic story or poem from the pages of Love Letters to Poe. You can find the original stories and poems, author interviews, your free copy of the magazine's inaugural issue, and much more at loveletterstopoe.com. Today's gothic story is titled Kingdom by the Sea by author Troy Seat, read by myself, Sarah Crokel Smith. This story can be found in Volume 1, Issue 1 of Love Letters to Poe. I hope you enjoy this haunting tale. Kingdom by the Sea by Troy Seat. The red boiling disk disappears, leaving only an explosion of orange above the dark abyss that is my jailer. The surf creeps onto the shore like an eyelid closing over the sand. The metronomic certainty of its cadence should be soothing, but the eerie moment of silence between slaps of water is like the silence before a scream, the waves mimicking the rhythmic beating of my heart. It's been 2 weeks since arriving at this desolate island, marooned, yet I am not alone. There is Carol, my wife. The two of us paddled to this uninhabited place on a piece of our exploded boat's wreckage. The island has vegetation, but nothing edible. So it's lucky I had the forethought to gather a small amount of food and water into a pack and sling it over my shoulder before jumping into the water. Carol lies on the shoreline next to me. The fact that she is dead isn't as tragic as you might think. I'd considered killing her more than once during our tumultuous marriage. After a few days here, her histrionics about our plight became more than I can endure, not to mention my diminishing supply of fresh water and consumables. I strangled the life out of her right on the beach. Who was there to see? Only the occasional bird or a creeping sea crab. Although she is a reminder of my actions, her presence helps thwart my feelings of isolation. I fear I won't be far behind her, for a chance of rescue appears remote. I turn my face toward my dearly departed, while enough light remains to see her. She deteriorates evenly from exposure. Small crabs have been equally effective, favoring the opportunities in and around her orifices. Her hair is loose, long strands mingling with the sand. Her skin is drawing to her skeleton. She's beginning to rot. The smell doesn't disturb me. Our relationship spoiled long ago, and somehow it's reassuring that she's dead and I'm not. She is disintegrating as I watch. Her current hairline reveals rusty green splotches as if mud and seaweed had been part of her oily makeup. Her blind eyes eternally stare at the heavens, filled with the horror of having life choked from them by her beloved. Her breasts are becoming deflated pouches, the warm blood from her veins settled. No more throaty murmurs or grumblings in her sleep, little left but dead meat, and the absolute loss of modesty. Not that she ever had much. As I observe what's left of my wife, something unexpected happens. Her head slowly rotates toward me, like the mechanical workings of a clock's second hand. Her body rises, just as slowly, to a sitting position. Her eyes now moving around as if they were counterbalanced movements of a doll's eyes. Her face begins to twist into something horrible, something inhuman. A wide, clownish grin stretches her decaying cheeks. Her eyes, sightless no longer, are now bulging black orbs of a hungry shark, vibrant with menace, burning a hole into my soul. Her hair transforms into writhing tentacles, not unlike Medusa's snakes. She's become a hideous form, transforming from a dead body into something incalculably dark and ancient. A deep, gravelly sound emanates from her emaciated throat. Is she a demon or an avenging angel? My nerves tingle with imminent peril. I sit up. Stop it, Carol, I stupidly say, trying to fight whatever illusion is tricking my mind into believing the impossible. Stop it! You're dead! Her head cants to one side. The abominable grimace pulls her mouth into a death's head grin, and her jaw distends from her skull and unhinges. An obscene, elongated tongue slithers around inside the maw, then spills out revoltingly. It lolls beneath her chin and flicks its tip. A hand darts from this monstrous changeling that was once my wife and closes tightly around my arm. I'm too astonished to react. Leathern wings unfurl. Fading sunlight shines through their partial transparency, a sight becoming exorbitantly more inhuman with each passing moment. The creature's mouth approaches mine like a dark cave of terror, the grotesque appendage within seeking me. An unwanted kiss? When I stop screaming, Carol's once again no more than a slimy, crab-covered husk, laying on top of me, face to face with her decomposing head, the translucent wings no longer encircling my body in a hellish embrace. Near hysteria, I push the corpse away in the hopes the event is a vivid hallucination, due only to the throes of hunger, thirst, and isolation. But I fear something worse. A king in his kingdom by the sea, lending my dear Carol the sword of Damocles. And so, all the night tide, I lay down by the side of my darling, my demon, my sins, and my bride, in our sepulcher there by the sea, never to be dissevered from our tomb by the sea.
If you enjoyed this work of fiction, please show your love by leaving a review. Never miss another story or poem by visiting loveletterstopoe.com/join. And if you want the party to continue, I invite you to Prince Prospero's Masquerade over at patreon.com/loveletterstopoe. Until next time, embrace what lurks in the shadows. You never know what gothic adventure lay within.